of Atlantic City, New Jersey, as it looks to its casino dealers.
Five winner, front line, take the don'ts, pay the line, it's a winner five, no field.
This is the casino floor where people placed the first legal bets in New Jersey 25 years ago this summer. This week, players still surround a green table at the resort's Atlantic City Casino. 13 players lean against the rail as one of them shakes a pair of red dice. In the next few seconds, $2,800 will change hands.
Coming out. Okay, she's got a whirl.
In 1978, this became the first place outside Nevada that you could legally place a bet in a casino. Today, Atlantic City's long experience may offer lessons to other places that approved casino gambling in recent years, or who are considering it as they look for extra tax money. Gambling has come to dominate this area's economic life. 50,000 people work in the casinos, more than the population of Atlantic City itself.
Hands up, dice out.
It's such an important source of jobs that even the local community college teaches students how to deal cards and calculate odds. That college is where we met Joseph Carcia, who's been a dealer since the 1980s. He's also an instructor, and he was sitting by a craps table coaching his students on how to run the game.
Specific odds, right, John?
Yes.
120 gets...
180.
Winner.
The gambling classroom at Atlantic Cape Community College is just down the hallway from the Office of Financial Aid. This could almost be a casino. We have one craps table here on which a game is being played. You have a roulette wheel spinning. No money is actually changing hands here, just chips, as the students are dealing to each other and learning from experienced dealers the techniques of the trade.
Seven out.
What makes a difference between a good dealer and a bad dealer, in your opinion?
Good dealer is smooth, knows his payoffs, watches his game, pays attention.
This gentleman's pointing at himself.
Yes, he's a good dealer. He's a good dealing student. A bad dealer is the one that's standing here watching the cocktail waitresses. Right, John?
Dice out, come on.
You must have seen plenty of people bet more than they could afford.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I've seen people lose everything they had in their lives. One situation where a woman... lost three restaurants. She had three restaurants, got addicted to gambling. Now she works as a slot attendant for $12 an hour.
When you're dealing and you look out across the table and you look out across half a dozen players, if there's one guy who is just betting way too much, what are the signs of that? Can you tell?
If they have a gambling problem?
Yeah.
There's many different gambling problems. Some people have lost all sensation. They don't get excited when they win. They don't get depressed when they lose. They feel nothing anymore.
Joseph Carcia says the customers have become more skilled since the industry's early days. They've had years of experience. But the players still lose $4.3 billion per year playing cards, throwing dice, and pulling the levers of slot machines. New Jersey approved casinos to save a shabby vacation town where nobody vacationed anymore. Soon, giant hotels rose on the beaches. The crime rate rose too, and parts of the city didn't recover. But Carcia says some of the casino money comes back to the community.
Atlantic City had a bright future, still does. As our illustrious governor said, after Atlantic City opens the casino gambling and they complained about the crime rate going up, said before casinos there was nothing to steal in Atlantic City. All the malls that have built, the shopping centers, the supermarkets, the car dealers that all have to sell cars. It's a tremendous boom to this area.
At Atlantic Cape Community College, the dealers learn the rules for handling money. If a dealer wants to reach into his pocket, he first has to clap his hands, then hold his palms upward. He has to show that he's not palming somebody's casino chip. Security cameras record everything. Many students say they don't gamble themselves, so this is all a new world to them. Other students seem utterly at home, including Adam Robbs. He's a hefty man in a red shirt who says he worked as a longshoreman before gambling lured him in.
Now I bet a lot.
You don't have any idea how much it costs you in a year to bet or anything like that.
I bet a lot. Are
we talking tens of thousands of dollars?
Easily.
In a year?
Easily. Like today I had a good day at the dice, so I might go to the casino if my woman would.
You mean, wait a minute, today you had a good day at the dice when you were playing for nothing?
Playing for nothing.
And so you figured maybe you're lucky.
So I'll take my luck to the table,
Can I just ask what your source of income is right now? You're in school.
Well, I have a financially stable significant other, and I carry my weight, believe me. We live fine, but I use this as a hobby. This is a high-costing hobby. I like to gamble.
Hands up, dice out. Same lucky shooter, shooting for a nine.
When you travel, as Adam Robbs does, from the fake casino to the real one, you can hear the difference as soon as you walk in the door. You hear the sound from slot machines with names like Battleship, Wheel of Fortune, and Elvis. The dealers at resorts wear uniforms, black pants and white shirts. We clipped a microphone to the shirt of Robert Midas.
Here we go.
He was working as a stick man, raking in the dice at the craps table and calling out the action.
Shooter has the dice.
Robert Midas is a Filipino immigrant who's worked here since his arrival in this country 19 years ago. It's a popular job for immigrants. As the customers bet on each other's dice throws, the supervisor, Dominic Zelensky Jr., describes the action.
Three crap, ace, deuce, single to field, crap.
The gentleman's shooting the dice.
Three
up top,
crap,
the older gentleman.
Ace, deuce.
Alone on his bet, he has $1,100 worth of play.
Seven line in, don't win. Last
roll
is
seven.
Seven out.
He loses. He loses $1,100.
Yes. Yes, he does.
We pulled one of the players away from the game to talk for a minute. It took a little persuading. He was busy. His name is Tony Cardillo. He comes here twice a week with $500 in his pocket. Like many customers, he's a senior citizen. He's been coming here since opening day in 1978. And like many regular customers, he keeps coming back because casino employees get to know him by name. They look after him, offering free meals and transportation.
I got one leg in the grave and one leg out. I'm 84 years old, so how much more can I keep going? So when I die, I'm happy. Nothing to lose.
Casino employees are paid between $4 and $8 per hour. Their real money comes from tips. Satisfied customers give them money or place bets on their behalf. They can make, overall, between $35,000 and $50,000 per year.
Thank you very much, sir. For the dealers.
You're hearing the voice of Sandra Osimus, who's dealing a blackjack table today. She has blonde hair and a friendly smile. When a seat opened up at the table, she beckoned a passing customer to sit down.
If they're going to lose their money, they want to have a good time while they're doing it. So you just have to look at them and talk to them and communicate with them.
What do you think keeps bringing people back?
The money, the greed. They think they're going to win.
Well, you're telling me they're wrong.
They think they're going to win. In fact, I would say that over the time, they all win at some time or another. But they just seem to give it back. There's very few that can take their winnings and walk away. They just seem to give it back.
Tell me what relation, if any, your business has to the economy, by which I mean just the tables you've worked over the years. Do you notice a difference when there's a recession, when there's not a recession?
Well, it seems like when there's a recession and a lot of people are out of work, we have more customers.
Really?
Yes, because people aren't working and they come down and they think they're going to make the rent money. They think they're going to make money for their car payment, and they don't. They end up losing.
Sandra Osimus has been working at this casino for 25 years, but she says she never gambles herself.
No, never. Never. I'm not a good loser. I work too hard for the money.
Sandra Osimus works the kind of job that forms the heart of Atlantic City's economy. More dealers are being trained and hired right now. This summer, the city is celebrating 25 years of gambling with the opening of one more huge casino. We asked Sandra Osimus if she had any advice for people who want to become dealers like her.
I don't know. Go to college. Go to college.
Wait a minute. Your advice for a young dealer is going to some other line of work?
Yes. Yes.
How come?
Well, this is just like factory work. It's just over, repetitious. Plus, it's hard on your body. Your arms are going all the time. When I went into it, this was a very well-paying job. But over the years, everything else is going up around us. And we've still pretty much stayed the same.
Sandra Osimus says she plans to retire from this job in about 4 more years. But she'll still be watching other people's money change hands. She plans a second career as a bank teller. By the way, the mayor of Atlantic City, Lorenzo Langford, was once a dealer himself. But the mayor is trying to diversify the economy, bringing something other than casinos to the boardwalk. Tomorrow, we'll examine the way the city has changed since the first casino opened in 1978.